triumph.
Well, some of these days I'm going home where no sorrows ever come. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials in that hole.
Yes, and now I'm on the other side.
On the other side. Now I'm going to
shake that hands with the elder.
Lord, and tell
my kindred good morning. Sit down beside of my Jesus. Sit down and rest a little while.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials in that hole.
Yes, and now I'm on the other side.
On the other side. Now I'm going to
shake.
We'll soon be done,
done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials.
To the heart of life so fair. And we'll all be gathered there.
And I'm going to sit down beside my Jesus.
Lord,
we'll
sit down rest a little while.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials in that hole.
Yes, and now I'm on the other side.
On the other side. And I'm going to
shake my hands with the elders.
Lord, and
tell my kindred good morning.
Then I'm going to
sit down beside my Jesus. A little
while.
And I shall behold his blessed face. I shall feel his matchless grace.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials.
Oh, what peace and joy to find in that home of love divine.
And now we're going to
sit down beside my Jesus.
Lord,
sit down and rest a little while.
We'll soon be done.
We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials in that home.
Done. We'll soon be done with troubles and trials.
Troubles and trials.
Appreciate you being in God's house today, and look forward to what the Lord has in store for us. Amen. I trust you come to worship the Lord, and amen, lift up the name of the Lord today. Amen. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Why don't you just turn and tell your neighbor, amen, let's get in and worship the Lord today. Amen. Let's magnify the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because you've already missed about three opportunities, amen, to worship the Lord. Amen. How many glad to be in God's house today, though, to magnify his name? And it's a wonderful day to be a child of God, wonderful day to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost on our way to heaven. Praise the Lord. And just a couple of things to remind you of, and that is this Saturday is the Fall Festival, and that's going to be an exciting time. Starts around noon Saturday. So remember that. Invite some neighbors, friends, and just folks to come out and be with you. And a lot of activities planned all throughout the day. And I appreciate Brother Nathaniel, Sister Shayla, Brother Bradley, and Sister Reba taking that on this year. And so they've put a lot of time and energy and effort into it. And I appreciate them doing that, willing to bless the church and serve and have a burden to make that event as wonderful as it should be. And so remember that this Saturday at noon. And also, in regards to that, the cake and ice cream contest. I know a lot of us are planning on eating it, but there seems to be more of us planning on eating it than fixing it. They've only had about three sign up for the competition. So if you're wanting to get into that, the ice cream and cake making competition, make sure you get signed up or see Sister Shayla today, all right? And I know folks wait till the last minute and make it hard on folks that plan events and all that kind of stuff. But if you're planning on doing it, get signed up. So they've got plenty of helpers. I know we got plenty of eaters. We need some makers. And you don't want me making it, but I hope you'll let me eat some of it. All right? So remember that Saturday. If you would, also Thursday night, Brother Trey and Sister Kylie, they'll be getting married in December, and this Thursday night is their wedding shower. So this Thursday evening at the Fellowship Hall, 7 o'clock, November the 2nd, Trey Brown, Kylie Floyd, is their wedding shower. So the information where they're registered is in the hallway on the announcement board. So let's be in prayer for them, and it is December 16th, they'll be getting married. All right, December the 16th. So be praying for them, and look forward to what the Lord is going to do for the church through them, and the testimony they have to live for God and do something for the Lord. I appreciate all our young married couples. I do appreciate all of them that have a desire to live for God and live a sanctified life and raising their children in the house of the Lord. Amen. What a blessing for us as a church to have so many young married couples and young folks that want to live for God. And that's a blessing to know that there's another generation not only coming on, but another generation that's already here serving the Lord and filling positions and ready to do something great for the name of the Lord. Amen. What a blessing that is. Amen. So remember that this Thursday night and be in prayer for them. Deacon, tell me if you would this morning, let's worship the Lord with our giving. Amen. God bless you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord, and let's give us unto the Lord about 4 weeks away from our Thanksgiving offering. So I trust you're in prayer for that day, and what a special event that is. So just look forward to that as well. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer, if you would, please. Amen. God bless you as you give. Good to have the Alexander family with us today. And Brother J.R. starts revival tomorrow night at Brother Robbie Hardin's in Sumter. So if you get a chance to go be with them tomorrow night in revival throughout, I believe it's through Friday night probably. I know Brother Robbie and his folks would be glad to have you in the house of the Lord. But they're going to be with us tonight as well. So I prevailed upon him to preach for us, and we're glad for that. But testify, Brother J.R., appreciate you and your family being with us in God's house today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sister Robin, would you sing for us today as she's getting ready to sing? Brother Morales, testify for the Lord today. Appreciate you being in God's house. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's worship with Sister Robin this morning.
For 21 days, he thought that God had not heard his servant's prayer. But an angel was sent from God that same day, but the prince of darkness stood in his way. The angel overthrew him. I can hear Daniel say, there's power in prayer. If you'll just believe, he's standing right there for you to receive. For the problems you face, he's all that you need. There's power in prayer. Oh, he's the God that won't fail when friends let you down. So cast all your cares on him, 'cause I'm found. problems you face. He's all that you need. There's power in prayer. He is the God that won't fail when friends let you down. So cast every care on him, cause I found he can take a heartache and turn it around. There's power in prayer. Now I prayed and prayed, but no answer came. My days turned to weeks, my grief turned to pain. And I cried, oh Lord, it seems like you haven't heard my prayer. First time you called, but Satan tried to block your answer and stall. Reinforcements been made, Satan had to withdraw. There's power in prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer. If you'll just believe, he's standing right there for you to receive. For the problems you face, he's all that you need. My grief turned to pain, and I cried, oh Lord, it seems like you haven't heard my prayer. Oh, but God said I heard you the first time you called, but Satan tried to block your answer and stall. Reinforcements been made, Satan had to withdraw. There's power. Standing right there for you to receive. For the problems you face, he's all that you need. There's power in prayer. Oh, he's the God that won't fail when friends let you down. So cast all your cares on him, cause I've found he can take a heartache and turn it.
I tell you, there's probably a situation you're praying about in your life. And why don't you just take a couple minutes, if Sister Robin just play that chorus again and sing it. Amen. Why don't you just take some time to pray about it right now. Whatever situation in your life, amen, whatever's going on in your world, amen, there's power in prayer. So let's not just sing about it. Let's practice it right now. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Father, we go to
there's
you.
There's power in prayer. If you'll just believe,
hallelujah.
He's standing right there for you to receive. For the problems you face, he's all that you need. There's power in prayer. He's the God that won't fail when friends let you down. So cast all your cares on him, cause I found he can take a heartache and turn it. Believe he's standing right.
many can say amen to that song today? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you want to read with me Acts chapter number 20. Amen. Acts chapter number 20, started verse number 7, reading down through the 12th verse. Amen. Acts chapter number 20, verse number 7. The Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Amen. Notice that, until midnight. "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Verse number 7, the Bible gives us the time frame. He continued his speech until midnight. Verse number 10 tells us, Paul says, "Trouble not yourselves, his life is in him." The miracle of raising Eutychus from the dead. I want to talk to you this morning about a midnight miracle. A midnight miracle. God bless you as you're seated today in the presence of the Lord. You may not realize it, but Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 7 is so relevant to those that study the history of the church, because it gives to us the template of the early church, the pattern of how they were worshiping the Lord and honoring the Lord's Day. I probably will rehearse a little bit of what I preached about the day. Was it the last Sunday in August, about honoring the Lord's Day? And I use this passage of Scripture inside of that message, but it is the pattern of the early church. Notice that. Paul's been in this city all the week, but it's because he's building up to the climax of Sunday. And upon the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, they were there to honor. They had set aside that time on the first day of the week. That's important, because it was no longer just a Saturday Sabbath or a Christian Sabbath. I'm hearing a lot in our culture, in the 21st century postmodern Christian world, that it's Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. It was not a Sabbath. It was a day of worship. It was a day of honor. They were not honoring the day. They were honoring the person. They were honoring the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were celebrating that Jesus was alive. And so they were honoring that, and they were worshiping that. And so it wasn't a day of rest or a day of relaxation or a day where you get to do what you want to do. But much to the contrary, it was intensely focused upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years later, we might be removed as far as geographically, but theologically, we are still tethered to this text. And that is why we are here today on the first day of the week. Every day should be honored. Every day we should worship the Lord. But the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, because this is the day some 2,000 years ago when Jesus arose with power over death, hell, and the grave. And so there are those that say, well, I work on Sunday, so I make Monday my Sabbath, or Tuesday the day when I'm with the Lord. You can't do that. There's only one day of the week that is in honor of when Jesus rose from the dead, and it is the first day of the week. And so that early church gathered together, as John writes in Revelation number 1, on the Lord's Day. Hey, friend, I want you to know this day should be reverenced. There's something special about this day. And I know some of you, probably at times we take it for granted because maybe we've been attending the house of the Lord for many years and we've spent many Lord's days in the house of God. But I'm telling you, amen, it was ingrained in me a long time ago. There's something special about the Lord's house and there's something special about the Lord's Day. Hallelujah. This is the day I get excited about, not because I'm the preacher, but because I'm a believer. I'm a child of God, and I know Jesus got up on Easter, and if he wouldn't have got up on Easter, there's not a person in here that would be saved today. So the pattern of the early church was, we're going to worship. We're going to gather together and worship on the first day of the week. You say, well, I work hard, but Sunday's my day to catch up. No, sir. No, it's the Lord's Day. Well, it's a day to relax and go to the lake and fish and vacation. No, sir. It's the Lord's Day. Even if you're on vacation, you need to find somewhere to celebrate the Lord's Day. It's his day. I said it is his day. Now, I know we may be 2,000 years later, but I'm not going to let the culture come in. I got people, friends, neighbors, that they want to go to church on Saturday so they can go do what they want to do on Sunday. Let me tell you, friend, that's worldly. That is carnal. Amen. That's being caught up in the culture of the day. This is the Lord's Day. It will always be the Lord's Day. And that's why we celebrate. And that really, let me insert this parenthetically, that really bothers me when you got to try to encourage the church to get excited and worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. Because we ought to come ready to celebrate. We ought to come. I know it's 2,000 years later, but in my spirit, in my heart, I'm as excited as if this would have been the day Jesus got up. Amen. I want the first Easter passion to be alive in my heart. I didn't come to sleep through church. I didn't come to patty cake and just try to go through the motions. I said, he got up. I said, he got up on Easter. Thank God. Hey, man, I know they're singing a song right now. I know he stayed dead all night Friday night. I know he stayed dead all day Saturday. I know he stayed dead all night Saturday night. But friend, the reason we're here today is early. I said early on the first day of the week. Amen. I wish you get so excited that every Lord's Day until Jesus comes, you'd come in the house of the Lord worshiping. You'd come in the house of the Lord magnifying God. Instead of, I'm going to preach about a man that went to sleep here in a little bit. That's why I'm trying to wake you up right now. Because there's about 6 of you. It didn't matter if it's Sunday or Monday. You look bored out of your mind. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When you got up today, it was the Lord's Day. And when you got in that car, it was the Lord's car. And when you walk through that door, it was the Lord's house. And that air you're breathing is the Lord's air. And we're here to celebrate the Lord's Day. I said, it is him. Thank God for the resurrected Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to shout you happy. I'm just trying to tell you why we come on this day, why we are here today, why we are here this morning. Amen. Why we designate this day. Buddha, I said, we're not here, friend. I said, in Hare Krishna, we're not here in his name. I'm not here in Muhammad's name. I'm here in the name above every name, that name to which every knee shall bow. Matter of fact, there's only one name that saved your soul. There's only one name that brought you out of the clutches of sin and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want some of you to realize that it's not a day to nap. It's not a day to catch up. It's not a day to pay the bills. It's not a day just to do whatever you didn't get done in the week. It is a day to celebrate. It is a day to shout. It is a day to glorify. It is a day to magnify our God. You say, I'm not an emotional person. I'll show up Saturday. Some of you get more excited about ice cream and running around the bases than you do on the Lord's Day in the Lord's house. I want you to know flat-footed this morning, there's nothing I'd rather do than go to God's house and worship God. There's nothing I want to get more excited about, amen, than the Spirit of the Lord that I feel right now. Hallelujah. And upon the first day of the week, they gather together. Y'all can sit down. Thank you for helping me. The pattern of the early church. Notice the disciples came together. There was a unity. The disciples came together. They needed each other. We're in a culture where nobody needs anybody. It's me, my family, and don't bother us, and we won't bother anybody else. That was not the pattern of the early church. The pattern of the early church came together as a family to encourage one another. Hallelujah. So either you might need encouraged today, and you say, I don't need encouraged. That means you're an encourager, and you need to encourage somebody else. But when I see churches become full of fractions and cliques, and when I see people isolating themselves and saying, we really don't need the church, you know, we could probably stay home and have church. Well, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. God wants you to go to church. God established the church. Matter of fact, you need the church. There's some folks that don't even think they need the church. You need the church. God established the church and commanded you go to church. We need one another. The disciples came together. I said the disciples came together. There was fellowship. There was unity. There was eating. There was a lot of it. They had a common meal. Every time they came to the house of the Lord, they liked to eat. I wish we liked to worship as much as they did. We got the eating down real good. But they liked to worship. They liked to praise the Lord. Matter of fact, there was a disregard for time, for the Bible said until midnight. If I go past midnight, I got about six of you going to check out. And the rest of you check out. You're just not going to check out in body. But there was a disregard for time among the early church. They came together to break bread. That pattern of fellowship, that pattern of unity. One of my friends, one of the cohorts in the program I was in a while back, his research was in the area, does online church satisfy the New Testament qualifications to be a church? Because there are some people that want to click on and click off and say, I'm part of a church. There's some folks that want to click on Mixler and say, I went to church. And I realize there's a place for that. And Sister Marsha in the hospital in different places and situations, that there's a blessing in that technology being able to deliver the gospel. But that does not disqualify us from the obligation that God wants me in the house of the Lord. That I can't click on and get everything I want. I can't click on and become part of the church. I can't click on and be in the church like God wants me in the church. I'm glad I had help this morning that I could come to church. I thank God I had money to buy gas to put in the car to get to church. Amen. There was a day when the old church, they used to just be glad they could get to church. They were so glad that they had a church to worship in. But we've got things so fine and so good that we come when we feel like it. We worship when we feel like it. We give when we feel like it. But what about that obligation that's my church, that's my Savior? And if the God will open those doors, I'll be in the house of the living God. The disciples came together. Do you really think we've come together this morning? Have we unified ourselves together? Do you have any aught against your brother? Did you go to him and make it right? Do you have any divisions? Has anybody been on your heart you've been praying for? Have you went to him to encourage them lately? We're part of the church. The pattern of that early church. The Bible said there were many lights. There were many. The house was packed and they brought lights. They were prepared to stay all night long. They were prepared. It was the early church that was prepared. Notice that pattern of the early church. But in the midst of all of that, we got a problem in this church. The Bible said that there's a young man. John MacArthur says that wording means that this young man was between the ages of 7 and 14 years old. The Bible said that he sat in a certain window. His name, Eutychus, meaning blessed or fortunate. But the Bible said that he has fallen down into a deep sleep. Deep sleep. I'm afraid to look right now just in case there's somebody emulating Eutychus in the house of the Lord right now. So just touch your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Wake up. Wake up. He's talking to you. But Eutychus put himself in a dangerous position. Put himself in a dangerous position. He was living on the edge. He isolated himself. You know anybody that's always living on the edge? They're always isolating themselves. The danger is they're going to fall, and the chances, there's a 50-50 chance they're going to fall in or fall out. But he isolated himself. He pulled himself away from what was going on in the worship service. The Bible said that Paul is preaching. The Greek word is dialogue. It might not have just been an instruction, but it might have been like a Q&A session going on. Paul was instructing him the things of God. He's preached his sermon. Now they're asking questions, and the dialogue seems to be just going on through the night. And so Eutychus is in the window, and the Bible said that he falls asleep, and either nobody notices it or nobody cares enough to bother him to wake him up. Chances are that his family or somebody that is his guardian is in that service. Somebody that loves him is there. He's asleep, but nobody dares wake him up. I come into the house of the Lord today just to tell you, if you've fallen asleep in Zion, it's time to wake up. I said, it's time for you to wake up. It's no time to be asleep spiritually, but we've got to be awake. I said, we've got to be alert. We've got to be on guard for the devil that's trying to destroy our souls. But why is this story inserted in the book of Acts? Why would Dr. Luke write this story? Showing us symbolically that there are people that are in the house of God, but they're getting ready to fall out of the house of God. There are people that are so overcome by the desires of their life, they're not engaged in what's going on. Notice the Bible said Eutychus is asleep. He is not engaged in what's going on. He has detached himself from the teaching. He has detached himself. He's asleep. He's not engaged. Say, it's not bothering anybody. Well, the problem is when you go to sleep in the church, you're not engaged in what's going on. You ever seen somebody start pulling back from God? They used to worship God, love God, be on fire for God. They had a testimony. They were working for God. They were excited for God. Now they just say, leave me alone. I want to sit right here. They just want to sit in the window, seal, and sleep. They're disengaging. They're pulling back. They're not connected to what's going on. Symbolic to those that are in the house of God, but they don't have an experience in God. I'm not naive enough to think that just because your body is here today, that your spirit is on fire for God. It's not enough just to come to the house of the Lord in our bodies, but we have to engage with what is going on. We have to engage with the Spirit of God and the teaching of the Word of God. And when we come around the altar, yeah, we're still one of the churches that come around the altar, because it's not enough just to come to the house of the Lord. And even if your mind is stirred and your spirit is stirred by the singing of the teaching, we've got to come to the altar and spend time praying. We've got to spend time in the presence of an almighty God. Matter of fact, that's the most important thing that will happen in the service today, is that you wake up spiritually and come around the altar and allow the teaching of God's word to stir your heart and stir your life. But the problem is, if somebody's asleep and we don't wake them up, we'll be just like Eutychus. And the Bible said that he fell down in a deep sleep. He sunk down. Now he's slumping down. Nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to go stir him. Everybody's preoccupied with what they've got going on. And the Bible says at midnight, a tragedy happens. At midnight, Eutychus falls out of the church instead of falling into the church. At midnight, Eutychus falls to his death, three stories down. A man that was within just a few feet of the Apostle Paul falls out of the church, miscalculates the damage that's going to be done and loses his life. I was in the presence of a backslider recently, probably been backslid over 10 years. And as I was sitting there talking to that gentleman, I remembered the conversations at the restaurants I had with him, trying to talk him out of what he was getting ready to do. But he was already asleep. I was trying to wake him up. I was trying to stir him. I didn't have the words. I didn't have the ability. But he was falling down and asleep. But the thing about it, the one thing that he wanted, the one thing that he was after, the reason that he fell out of the church 10, 12 years later, he still don't have that. He still is searching. I asked him about it. He's still trying to get there. He's still not there. But in the meantime, he's on his way to hell. His family's on their way to hell. My God, today when you go to sleep, amen, you miscalculate what the devil has in mind for you. The devil wants to take your soul to hell. The devil wants to take your children to hell. The devil wants to take me to hell. But I come to God's house today to say, oh God, Spirit of the living God, would you stir me? Would you stir me? Would you wake me up? Don't let me be rocked to sleep in Zion. But he fell out of the church. That would be the end of the story, except for the power that was residing in that early church. Notice what happens. Notice what happens. The Bible said that Paul went down, verse number 10. Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him. Notice, Paul went down and picked him up, started hugging him. Do we really love those that have made a mistake enough to love them? Notice he picked him up and loved him just like Elijah and Elisha. Oh God, give us that power again. God, give us that compassion again, that when somebody makes a mistake and they fall down, instead of criticizing them or casting stones, why don't we go down and try to pick them up? Why don't we go down and try to love them back to Jesus? Notice Paul said, trouble not yourself. It was a mob scene. It's the same word as when they were in the mob that wanted to crucify Jesus. It's the same. It's the same Greek rendering right here. Trouble not yourself. I can't get it out of my mind. Here's the early church. It's midnight, and now they've spilled out onto the streets. And in the darkness of the night, there's screams, there's moans, there's groans, there's crying, all because of a tragedy. I'm tired of hearing about the bad news. I'm tired of hearing about the tragedies. I'd like to make some noise about the good things of God. I'd like for the church once again to get excited about what God is doing, about who is getting saved, about who is getting the Holy Ghost. I'm not serving a dead God, and not everybody's backsliding. I said the church of the living God, we still got the power of God. We've still got the fire of God. I said, we're still on our way to heaven. I said, thank God for somebody that's going to finish the race. But oh, so many people like to make so much noise about the tragedies. Winston Churchill is quoted with it. Whether he said it or not is debatable. But he said, a lie can get halfway around the world before truth can get its pants on. We're focused. We love bad news. We love bad news. There's folks here today. Your children aren't serving God simply because you were too critical. We just pick like buzzards until we peck it to death. When somebody's made a mistake or something's different, like you throw 300, 400, 500 biddies in a little pen, and if there's, Michael will tell you, wherever he's at, if there's a little speck, if there's something a little different about one of those biddies, those others will go in there and they'll peck at it and peck at it and peck at it and peck at it until they peck that little biddy to death. I would to God some of us would have the spirit of Paul, that we'd get around somebody and try to pick them up and try to bring them back to life again. For Paul said, his life is now in him. Luke has already declared him dead. Luke has already said he's dead. But Paul said his life is in him. Paul said, I feel resurrection power coming back in this boy. His life is in him. He's coming back alive. I come to tell somebody this morning, God can give you a midnight miracle when you feel like it's hopeless, when you feel like it's too far gone. I feel resurrection power. I feel the Holy Ghost power. I feel God doing things today that folks say are impossible. You ought to tell the devil, cancel my funeral plans. That's what you ought to tell the devil this morning. Cancel my funeral plans. Just like Dan Roberts talked at Rich Lands a couple years ago. He had stage four cancer. They had given him weeks to live. He had made his funeral arrangements underneath hospice care. God come by, healed Dan Roberts of stage four cancer. I loved it when he said, I called up the funeral home and said, God has healed me. Cancel my funeral plans. Oh, hallelujah. I'd love for the Spirit of the Lord to come by this morning. Cancel your funeral plans. I said, cancel it. Greater is he that is in you. God's not dead. I said, God's not dead. He's still alive. I said, he's still alive. Cancel your funeral plans. I stand with me all over the house of God this morning. God, would you give us an altar service right now? Hallelujah. Some musicians are coming. Church, let's magnify our God. Come on, let's worship our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. That power is still the same. That power is still the same. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 But somebody here this morning, you need a midnight miracle. I said you need a midnight miracle. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's some dark things going on in your life. There's some things that look like it's midnight. It looks like it's too far gone. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the resurrected Savior is here right now. I said there's life in Jesus right now. You can cancel those funeral plans. While she begins to sing and worship the Lord, I want you to step out and meet me at this altar right now. And say, preacher, I'm ready for my midnight miracle. I'm ready for a midnight miracle. I'm ready for a midnight miracle. It's dark. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy. I said joy, joy, joy. I said joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah. Quickly, quickly. Somebody right now meet me at this altar. Praise the Lord. God, give us a move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, oh.
God's got a miracle with my name on it.
Somebody else, quickly, quickly, quickly. Right now, right now. God, I want a miracle. Lord, I need a midnight miracle.
There is nothing that can stop me until I've got that miracle with my name.
Lord, I need a midnight miracle right now. Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
There's nothing that can stop.
I'm not in a hurry right now, church. I said, I'm not in a hurry right now. I'm talking about somebody that's in midnight. Somebody that's in a dark season. Somebody that looks like it's too far gone. But the devil is a liar. I said, the devil is a liar. Your children aren't too far gone. Your grandchildren aren't too far gone. Your marriage is not too far gone. It's midnight, I understand. I said, I understand. But God's power is the same. I said, God's power is the same. What he did yesterday is what he'll do this morning. If you'll come to the Lord this morning, there's resurrection power right now. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, praise be the name of the Lord. Move right now in Jesus' name. Say, God, I need a miracle. God, I need you to turn this situation around. I need you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Church, would you begin to come? Come on right now. Let's flood this altar. Come on, let's worship the name of our God.